live from Orlando, Florida, you're listening to the Orlando Magic HQ podcast, the voice of Magic fans. Join us every week for a unique fan perspective on all of the latest Magic news and updates. The show starts now.
What's up, Magic fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Orlando Magic HQ podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online, where your host Al, myself, Anthony. Today is Thursday, 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, Al. What's going on, man?
I'm here. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, so we're a few days into free agency or post free agency, and Al and I, we decided to kind of wait off a little bit to kind of see how the dominoes kind of fell down, so we can get a broader scope of the decisions that the Jeff Weltman, Anthony Parker front office have or have not made. And we're at a point now where it's time for us to be able to talk about the stuff that went down, get our thoughts on it. Now that certain elements have kind of marinated a little bit, not full immediate reactions, which is probably better for Al, because I'll be honest with you, man. I was worried about you the last couple of days. Every single report that came out, I'm just like, oh man, Al's not gonna like this one. Al's not gonna like that one. But that's kind of the name of the game, man. So we're gonna break down everything free agency in today's episode. But before we get into it, just a quick word from our sponsor, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game is over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in to the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, the game starts here. Before we jump into the episode, also, this is our episode 201. If you didn't catch last week's episode, we just hit our big 200. We're still getting entries for our 200 giveaway for our 200th episode in celebration of that. All you have to do is go to our last episode, type in the number 200, and you will be registered. Just make sure that you're subscribed to our YouTube channel as well. All right, let's get into it. So, the Orlando Magic, right? There was a lot of talks, a lot of rumors nonstop that we kept hearing. Paul George, Klay Thompson. And as we got closer to free agency, it became extremely clear that Klay Thompson really wasn't a thing, right? When it got down to it, Klay Thompson, just that scenario wasn't realistic for the Orlando Magic. The one that started gearing up to creating a lot of heat, a lot of spin, a lot of run, was Paul George to the Magic. And I will be 100% honest with you, in my gut, in my soul, it felt right. I honestly thought that it makes the most sense for Paul George. I convinced myself Paul George coming to Orlando makes all the sense in the world. It didn't make sense for him to go back to the Clippers, because Clippers weren't willing to give him what he wanted, the max contract. Philadelphia didn't make sense either, because, it's Philadelphia. Like, it's crawling on the floor, Joel Embiid crying after every call, throwing his body around, can't stay healthy to save his life. Sure, he won, NBA MVP after crying about it for a couple years, and they didn't want to give it to Jokic. A whole bunch of stuff, right? You're talking about players like Jimmy Butler. You're talking about, Ben Simmons when he was playable. You're talking about James Harden, countless top elite players playing next to Joel Embiid. Surely Paul George looks at that scenario and says, it hasn't worked for anyone else, why would it work for me? Not to even forget to mention the fact that Paul George was teammates with James Harden, right? James Harden, who has been extremely vocal about, how how much he didn't like the way that he was dealt with in Philadelphia with Daryl Morey, how he called him a liar, how he didn't live up to whatever, you know, negotiations that they talked about. I would have thought in my heart of hearts, like, this dude had poisoned Paul George's ear, and there's no way that he's going to Philadelphia. Also, he's a family man, mid-30s. Like, you got three kids. When we talk about family, like, Orlando over L.A. and Philly. Like, let's just be honest, right? And it was only between Philadelphia, the Clippers, and us, because we're the only ones that have the cap space to be able to sign them. And unfortunately, that just, it did not go our way. Even though it was reported that Philadelphia was going to get a meeting, the Orlando Magic were going to get a meeting, and then the Clippers were also going to get a meeting. Sunday, Paul George was reported to meet with the Clippers, was going to meet with Philadelphia, but there was no word on the Orlando Magic. And before a decision was even made from Paul George, the Orlando Magic went in, and they weren't going to miss out on an opportunity to be able to bring in another player, and the Magic announced that they signed KCP. So, just a quick recap of that. In your heart, did you believe that the Magic did have an opportunity at Klay Thompson and Paul George, and missing out on both of them, how are you feeling with the Magic ending up with KCP?
So, I mean, I'll be honest, right? We were texting nonstop that Sunday, waiting for updates. The rumors had been, you know, since Saturday evening till Sunday evening, hey, Paul George is going to meet with the Magic. By itself, that was a win for me. And I tweeted that too. Okay, listen, the fact that we're getting a meeting with Paul George, that automatically tells me that we're in the right direction. One of the top free agents, if not the top free agent in this class, is willing to meet with us. Hey, that's a huge win right then and there.
That's it.
But then again, the reality kind of kicks in. Like, hey, like, are we really going to get a meeting? Are we really going to spend all of our cap space on Paul George? I don't know. Then my doubts started. But you kept me kind of in the loop. Like, you know what? I'll believe. I think this can happen. I'm like, you know what? Let's see how it plays out. And man, what? And now we're into free agency. That dream was over. Because again, we chose to go after KCP, which makes sense. My take on that is, Paul George must not have been ready to commit to us right at the start of free agency. We probably wanted him to, so we can know what our plan was. He wanted to meet with Philly, whatever it might have been. Or he just honestly used us as leverage to get the most money out of Philly. I don't know what the story there is. We'll probably never find out. But it never really quite felt real to me. It would have been crazy if the Magic would have signed him. Don't get me wrong. And up till the very end, I really thought that Klay Thompson was more of a real possibility, just because, again, he's aging, wanted a little more money. He can win with the Magic, not as much as now we know he went to Dallas. At the time, that wasn't the case. We only thought he may go either stay in Golden State or go to another team, but who? Nobody knew at the time. I don't know, man. I think that Klay would have been a great fit here. We were talking about it right before we started recording. It's not going to happen. It's done with. KCP, my reaction was, great player, great defender. So our defense is going to be nasty. Let's not be wrong about that. I am just concerned about our struggles last year. When you think back about last year, our struggle was, if Paolo was getting double teamed, or he didn't have it for whatever reason, and France didn't have it that particular game, we were not going to score. And my question is, does KCP address that? And we talked about this very briefly on our last episode. But that's my concern. He's not a volume shooter. He's a great three-point shooter, but not a volume shooter, and not a guy that is known to create his own offense. So, again, defensively, a beast. Him and Jalen Suggs in the backcourt, it's going to be fun to watch. My concern is, did we do enough as a team? This was our main target, our main free agent, to address our main weakness, which, again, was scoring down the stretch. Think about that Cleveland series. It would have been the third quarter, and we had 32 points. Like, that scares me a little bit still that we haven't addressed that. But money-wise, 3 years, $66 million. Great defender, great catch-and-shoot shooter, fits in like a glove. It's a great fit. But again, that part of me still worried, the fact that we didn't address the scoring aspect of it. But what about you? What was your first reaction when you saw that Woj tweet saying that we had signed him?
I respect it. I respect it, man, because let's say that we really did have a legitimate shot at Paul George. It was reported from Jake Fisher that, you know, he never really believed that it was legs with Paul George and Klay Thompson to Orlando. And it may have been a situation where the Orlando Magic benefited from the rumor of Paul George, you know, taking a meeting with Orlando, because it does show a change of trajectory with this team, right? Because, you know, 2 years ago, getting a sit down with a player like Paul George wouldn't have happened, not even an option, not on the table. And this time it was, right? But let's say for the sake that we did have an opportunity. I don't know if I'm the Orlando Magic, if I would have liked the idea of kind of being, I don't know if going last would have been a good thing or a bad thing, right? Because if the whole free agency is waiting on what is Paul George going to do, because it did feel like there was a moment of pause, then you kind of have a little safe space, right? But what if that wasn't the case? What if KCP was, you know, talking and flirting with other teams, and we miss that opportunity because we're trying to get this one guy, and then we end up with nothing, right? So I respect the fact that the Orlando Magic decided, hey, KCP is our guy. He addresses needs of the team. We're terrible at shooting. He's one of the best. He's outside of Klay Thompson, maybe Paul George, the best shooter in free agency. We're going to lock him up. And oh, by the way, he's a great two-way player, and he's able to defend the basketball, right? So when I saw that we signed KCP, I was hyped. Maybe not as hype as, you know, getting a splashy name like Paul George and Klay Thompson, but I was hyped because you take a look at the free agency, and there's been so many names that we have targeted that weren't available. Malik Monk went back to the Kings. You know, Nick Claxton ended up going back to the Nets. Like, all these players that we wanted to bring in, they were gone. So you take a player like KCP, who is a really important piece to the Denver Nuggets and their championship run, you bring him to your team, you steal him away from Denver, is huge. I was listening to a Denver podcast about how losing KCP is the farthest thing that they wanted to happen, that they had fear of it happening, and it's going to hurt their team so much because they don't believe that the next person that they have in line is going to be able to fill into those shoes. And you're right. You know, looking at the stats, KCP may not be a volume shooter, but he didn't have to be. You know, they had so many weapons on that team. You know, their whole starting lineup is stacked. And the fact that he was able to be in there with him is huge. And, you know, the report was that that Denver offered him a similar contract, and he still decided to go with us. There was another report that I saw. I don't know if it was confirmed or not, but I guess something came out that KCP's girlfriend, fiance, wife, whoever, partner, came out and said that Denver never offered it. Not sure which one is which, but the fact that we took him away, this is someone that's won two championships. This is a clear upgrade from Gary Harris. You know, it at least gives you some excitement because Jalen Suggs, if he's able to continue his shooting stretch, carry that over into the season, along with KCP, I'm expecting for KCP to have more green light than he's ever had before. So I'm not too worried about the volume. I do believe that there's going to be so much opportunity, especially with Paul George, for that volume to increase, that we're going to be all right. And just one last point that I wanted to add, getting KCP, stealing him away from Denver, and I posted this on social media, it in my opinion satisfies our trade for Aaron Gordon, right? Because we got RJ Hampton, we got Gary Harris, we got that future Denver pick, and you know, obviously Gary Harris, you know, everyone has their feeling towards Gary Harris, not consistent, wish he would be more healthy, wish that, you know, he would make more of his shots and you know, be available for us. But RJ Hampton was a complete dud, right? So we kind of left with nothing really of major value other than, you know, that future second round pick. So being able to steal KCP away from them, in my opinion, makes up for that trade. That's the way that I'm at least convincing myself. But I'm excited. And I think that the best thing about signing KCP is the fact that we also brought in Gary Harris. I love that. I know that you were against it. I know when I saw the message, I was confused. I was not expecting it. I thought when we brought in KCP, Gary Harris is gone, right? But I think that it allows us to, it instead of upgrading the shooting guard position, in my opinion, is that we now added more shooting. It's one thing to swap them out and upgrade that position. It's another thing to be able to add an additional shooter to your arsenal. So I know KCP wasn't a splashy name, but now that you've kind of marinated with KCP on the lineup, I think it's safe to say that you're on board with KCP.
I will say this to your point. Adding Gary Harris, which I got a lot of people on Twitter, X, were upset that we brought him back. But to your point, the way that I see it is we literally now really, truly upgraded the shooting guard position because we didn't just replace him. We added to it. And not only did we add to it, we, again, kept Gary Harris, which was one of our best shooters last year, despite his struggles. But now the fact that you're adding a 40% three-point shooter in KCP on top of that, plus Jalen Suggs and Jet Howard, who we expect to play, plus Da Silva, who we expect to see maybe minor minutes, but it's known to be a shooter, and Caleb Houston, like, hey, all of a sudden, we have a backcourt that is full of shooters. Completely. So from that perspective, that was exciting, right? KCP also, man, a vet, a two-time champion, a guy that is known to be a great locker room presence. Add to Gary Harris, who's known for the same qualities as well in the locker room. So in a way, in a weird way, bringing Gary Harris back kind of made the move look better to me. It wasn't just a swap of two guards. We added more talent and more shooting at the shooting guard position. The concern is, for many fans, is he going to take minutes away, Gary Harris, is he going to take minutes away from Anthony Black, from Jet Howard, and the young guys? Honestly, maybe. We'll find out at training camp. Maybe. I honestly don't think so. But I will tell you this, the front office, the coaching staff, they're fully on board letting Jet Howard get a chance, letting AB get a chance. If they don't get minutes over Gary Harris at this point, it's because they haven't earned it. It's as simple as that. So if you want to be mad at someone, be mad at them, because these guys aren't, you know, they're training nonstop with the coaching staff this summer. They're prepping for a role next year. If for some reason Gary Harris is out there on the court before they are, again, then we have some more of the questions to be asking.
Yeah, this has been the biggest complaint from a lot of people that I've read is, you know, Jet Howard, Anthony Black, they're not going to be able to get minutes. So what? Like, we're not at a point where we're focusing. Our primary focus is not, unfortunately, Jet Howard and Anthony Black. I personally believe Anthony Black at one point will be our starting future point guard. I do believe that. I really, really do. But if he's not ready right now, we can't wait. We can't. We're at the stage where it's all about winning games. And if there's any indication, if we've learned anything from last season, it's that every single game counts. Well, you know, they went on a 9-game winning streak. None of that goes. And you said it. They have to earn it. And this team that we have, from top to bottom, there's competition, and there's going to be opportunity. Unfortunately, the Magic have not shown that they've been able to be 100% healthy all year long in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. They're going to get their time. They're going to get their reps. They're going to have those opportunities. But I'm not worried about, if you're worried about, you know, how many minutes of Jet Howard going to play, you're worrying about the wrong things, because the most important thing is winning ball games. And whether or not Jet Howard plays, unfortunately, it's not the primary purpose that we are going to win games. And I think that with time, people will see that. Like, you take a look at Gary Harris, and this is your starting two guard last season, is now coming off the bench for you. Your bench lineup, your second unit, is now stronger because of it. And let's say that you're even ignoring that aspect of it. Gary Harris struggled with health last season. He did. So, at the very least, you take a look at KCP. Last season, he played 76 games. Season before, 76. Season before, 77. Before, 67. 69, 82, 74, 75, 76, 82, 80. This is a person that's available to play for you. And I think for me, that's the exciting part, is that for a team that has struggled with health, knock on wood, you know, you bring in a player that, for lack of a better term, checks all the boxes, right? Because that's a new hot key word from you know, President Wellman. but it's the fact that you bring in a shooter, you bring in someone that is great defensively, you bring in somebody that has championship pedigree, and you have someone that is available. And I think that you can't put a price on that. I love the signing. I love the contract. We gave him 3 years, $66 million. I think that's fair. I think that's at market rate. Listening to the Denver podcast, the two or three that I listened to, they said that was the amount that they were expecting Denver to offer them, and that they're disappointed that they weren't able to get something done. And, you know, every single media outlet that I saw, we got grades of, you know, B plus, A minuses. I think this was a really, really good move for the Magic, given what the free agency landscape was. Isaiah Hartenstein decided to go back to OKC. Like, you take a look at what's available in free agency, and what's available are guys who are on our roster that we should and did bring back. So, kind of jumping into it, you miss out on Isaiah Hartenstein, which he got a crazy contract to sign with OKC. What was the amount?
I got it right here. So he got a 3-year. Where am I? The notes here. I know it's $29 million per year. I think it's $87 million that he got.
Okay.
3 years, starting at $29
million. Yeah, so big contract for our Isaiah Hartenstein. I think I saw that he gets paid a little bit more now than Jalen Brunson, which is kind of crazy. so the Magic end up bringing back Goga, 3-year, $25 million. The Magic signed Gary Harris to a 2-year. They just updated it. Waj had reported it was for $14 million, and then he came out and it was an adjustment. So 2 years for $15 million. Magic bring back Mo Wagner, which was huge. 2 years, $22 million. For me, Mo Wagner, that was a big bring back sign. Like, you obviously knew it was going to happen, but this team just wouldn't feel right, in my opinion. It wouldn't feel the same without Mo Wagner. Like, what he brings to the table, the way that he, you know, it has this knack, this ability to be able to get under the skin of everyone else. I thought bringing back Mo was huge, and really, really happy for him to be able to get the contract that he got, and also for Franz, because that's a big deal for them to be able to play together.
Yeah, man. I mean, two guys to me that, again, three guys in this roster that make us who we are today. I think Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, Mo Wagner. Like, they're just the attitude on the court, the fact that they get on people's skin. You need those guys. So I'm really happy to see Mo Wagner back. Goga earned it, man. Goga stepped in last year when Wendell went down. We didn't miss a beat. He was out there grabbing rebounds, blocking shots, protecting the rim. We always talk about how would this team look with a big center that can block shots and grab rebounds. Guess what? That's Goga. So we brought him in when we let go of Mo Bamba, and we didn't miss a beat. Not once have we thought, man, like, what if Mo Bamba was here? Goga came in and did a great job, earned this new contract. And I'm glad we kept him, because actually the Knicks wanted him. And Knicks fans were, like, trying to celebrate the fact that they were going to get him after Isaiah left him. And guess what? We actually ended up keeping Goga. So that was huge. We talked about Gary already and Mo Wagner, the impact that he will have on this team. So the best part is, four names we've mentioned so far, KCP, Goga, Gary Harris, Mo Wagner. All the contracts that they got, man. Team friendly, guys chose to come here. Nothing that will kill us in the cap, you know, in years to come. We know we got to pay Franz and Jalen Suggs this summer. Next year, we got to pay Paolo. So we know we got some big contracts coming up. These are some incredible contracts, man, for guys that will be in town, that want to be here, that deserve the contract they got. So that's the biggest thing for me with the front office. Say what you want. I know we all wanted more drama this offseason. Didn't quite happen. But one thing is for sure, they continue to make safe moves keeping us in play for whenever that next, you know, big trade superstar goes out there and says, hey, I want to be out of whatever, Cleveland, New York, wherever it may be. Orlando has the players, the contracts, the picks, everything in place to go and acquire that guy. And truthfully, I think that's the way that we're going to go after a star. It's not going to be, in my opinion, free agency. It's going to be by bundling together, you know, Goga, Gary Harris, and Cole Anthony plus picks to go get, for example, Trey Young as an example. Like, that's the way it's going to be done in the future. We have so much depth, so much talent in this roster. At some point, you have to consolidate. We've been talking about this for 2 years now. We're going to have to do it at some point. We cannot pay everybody. So we got to be patient. One more summer, one more season. And I will close it out with this. We said so much back in May, April, man, it sucks the season came to an end. This was such a fun team to watch. We hope we can watch this team again. We wish it could be longer this season. We would have beaten Cleveland and watched them against the Celtics. Well, guess what? Getting what we wanted. We're going to bring back the entire team. As of right now, only two guys haven't been brought back, Chuma and Markel. Outside of that, really, oh, Joe Ingles, we'll talk about him later, ended up leaving us too. But outside of that, it's the old team. So we'll get to keep on watching this squad and having fun with it.
And I think that it screams volumes as well, the fact that Gary Harris coming back, Mo Wagner, and Goga coming back. Like, when you're able to retain your players back, in my opinion, very easily, there was no mm-hmm. fear or risk of losing any of those guys. It really does prove a point that you are building something special. And for a player like Goga, who the New York Knicks, when they lost Isaiah Hartenstein, you know, they were a team that were possibly looking to pry Goga away from the Orlando Magic. And, you know, that would have been a tough hit, because if you lose Goga, now you have to go into the market and maybe you find a player that is cheaper and can do what Goga does. But Goga fits the timeline. He's already acclimated with the guys. He's shown that he can step up and start if we need him to start. He's also shown that, you know, if he's getting limited minutes, that he's going to come in, he's going to make an impact, man. We've saw time and time last season, how many times have we seen him come into the game and he's protecting the rim. He's playing great defensive basketball. So I'm really, really glad and happy that we brought him back. And then Jonathan Isaac was also, that was a big one. There was a report that came out that the Magic were looking to renegotiate and extend his contract. Jonathan Isaac ends up getting a contract extension, 5 years, $84 million. So Jonathan Isaac definitely on the verge of getting paid, man, because this past season, in my opinion, was make or break for Jonathan Isaac. He had to prove his worth. He had to prove his value. If he couldn't stay healthy, it didn't make sense for the Magic to bring him back after last season. And not only mm-hmm. was he able to maintain his health for a good period, even though there was a year-long minute restriction, but man, his level of play, Jonathan Isaac healthy is easy all defensive team, easy NBA all defense. So you take a look at his 5 years, $84 million, and then you take a look at the contract. You know, Weltman is so savvy with how he structures his contract. I don't think Weltman has done one bad contract since he's been with the Magic, which is, I remember when we first brought him on, that's the first thing that he talked about, that he's going to make sure he doesn't mm-hmm. mortgage the future. He's going to make sure that the contracts make sense. And he's done that. So based on his contract, Orlando added $10 million to Isaac's 24-25. He was set to make $17 million this year. So really, instead of an $85 million contract, it's really more like a $67 million because he was going to pay that money this year anyways. That $10 million is going to be to Isaac's 24-25 salary for the cap room. It's going to decline by about 40% to $16.4 million next year, and then a maximum 8 percent decline to land at 12.9 million by 2028-29. So a total 85.3 million for Jonathan Isaac. Really, really happy for him. And it was also reported by John Hollinger that there's going to be some protection in there for the team, just in case the event that Jonathan doesn't stay healthy, which is, in my opinion, fair for the Magic and also fair for Jonathan Isaac. There's incentive for him to be on the floor.
Dude, what a incredible job by John, by our front office, right? The fact that you, again, we were wondering, what do we do? We have like $29 million left in cap room. What are we going to spend it on? Jeff knew all along what to do. He had this in plan. He said, hey, let me bring back J.I. Let me restructure this contract. It makes sense to do it. Think about the fact that if J.I. can stay healthy and have the same impact that he has today on defense by, you know, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, he'd be making $12 million. That's going to be a steal by then. Now, that's all assuming, of course, that he stays healthy. But to your point earlier, this is a guy that when he is healthy and you add him to Jalen Suggs, Anthony Black, KCP, the defensive identity of this team is incredible. And again, you keep adding pieces that are just going to make it even better. So definitely a steal in my eyes, the fact that we're able to do this. And the fact that we knew for a fact it was going to be heavily protected just because we know the injury history, I'm pretty sure there's some, you know, protections around the knee, the ankles probably. So if any of that happens, maybe you can void the contract. We'll find out more details later on that. But at least on paper, what we know right now makes a ton of sense. And in my eyes, what this also tells me is you're pretty much counting on a big four in Orlando right now. You're counting on Paolo, Franz, Jalen Suggs, Jonathan Isaac. That's your kind of core foundation that you're building around. Again, everybody else is up to be, you know, evaluated. Do you fit into the identity that we're building with us, all the four guys? So J.I.'s here for the long run. Franz and Suggs should be getting extended this summer. Paolo for sure next summer. That's your core. That's what you're building around. When you go after a star player, trade, free agency, it's around those guys. So we know now that for sure. So that's pretty cool to know. For years, we wondered, who are the cornerstones? Who are we building around? We didn't have an identity. Even when Vooch was here, AG, who's the man? Well, now we know who the guys are. So that, at least for me as a fan, is good to know. So again, great job by the front office, man. It's honestly, my eyes, a steal.
Yeah, and listen, the Magic were successful, beyond successful last season. So it makes sense not to shake it up too much. Now, the concern from a lot of Magic fan base is that, you know, Paolo Banchero publicly stated that he wants someone to be able to set the table up, to be able to set the offense so that, you know, Paolo can be a little more off ball, right? And unfortunately, one can debate that that's one of the ways that the Magic, you know, didn't address his free agency. And I would say that free agency outside of the top, man, it was pretty much of a weak free agency class. And I think that, you know, you remove that KCP signing and the Magic were left with nothing, man. Like if they don't sign KCP, now we're looking at a failure of a free agency because the Magic didn't get better, you know, through free agency in a team in a year where the team desperately needed some shooting. So, you know, applaud to the front office for being able to lock that down, because the team, no matter what you feel or if you're unsatisfied with the signing of KCP and bringing, you know, the same guys back, the Magic got better, 100%. You got a starting caliber, championship level shooting guard that can shoot 40% from the 3-point line, who can play 70, 80 games a season. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And the defense between KCP and Jalen Suggs is going to be nuts. So unfortunately, I know Paolo would like to be off ball more and would like to, you know, be able to have a table setter unless Jalen Suggs drastically improves on the point guard side. You know, unfortunately, he's going to have to, you know, support with the ball handling. Yeah, it's just what it is. Because Jalen, there's no way that you take off Jalen Suggs from that point guard position. Now that you have KCP, he's no. One point. It's just what it is.
It's not going to happen. I think the only other option would be if you say, hey, Franz, be the one that kind of initiates the offense more often for Paolo. So, I mean, maybe this summer. To me personally, that's something that both France and Suggs should be working on heavily this offseason, is those, you know, those point guard kind of skills. So playmaking, creating offense, pick and roll offense, like that should be 100% what they're spending the time on. And of course, France, the shooting. We got to get that shooting back for France. But I mean, in my opinion, Jalen Suggs did what he had to do. It was a year where he was thrown into the point guard position. It wasn't expected, but then Markel went down and it was kind of unexpected. But hey, he, in my opinion, he did a great job. Led us to the playoffs, ran the point in the playoffs fairly well. I think he's a young guy, man. He's still learning, still adapting to the NBA game. And don't forget, he played point guard in college. So it's not like it's, you know, something completely different to him. So I believe in him. I think he can figure it out. But in the worst case scenario, France is going to have the ball in his hands plenty as well. So Paolo will get his chance to get more offense created for him. And let's see what happens. We still have a roster spot open. I don't expect that person that we signed to get minutes at this point. But we'll see what happens. You never know with this front office, what moves they make.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe the idea is, you know, you have Jalen Suggs play that point guard position. KCP is two years guaranteed. Third year is a player option. And, you know, maybe 2-3 years from now, Anthony Black, he improves his jump shot and he earns that starting position. Then he slides Suggs at the two. Like, you never know what could happen. And at the very least, this gives, you know, the Coach Mo some flexibility. So really happy for Jonathan Isaac and the rest of the guys, because it's a good group. We always talked about team chemistry, how that's one of the strengths of this team, and it looks like that it's just going to continue. So really, really awesome for them. You mentioned Chuma not going to be back. Magic did not extend a qualifying offer for Chuma Okeke. Okay. Like, what? However it is that we decide that we're going to pronounce his name. And then Joe Ingles also, it was reported that he is not coming back. So he just signed a 1-year deal with the Timberwolves, which I thought was pretty interesting, because the report initially was that, you know, we're not going to offer him. We're going to wait to see. Right. And then there's still wants from both sides to be able to get a contract done. And then we got the news today that, you know, he's signing with the Timberwolves, which in my opinion, I know it's kind of like a Magic Civil War. You got half of the people that say, you know, Joe Ingles is massive to that second unit, was the reason why they were successful. He was a great playmaker and all these things. But man, if I can tell you, I'm so happy that the Joe Ingles experience is over. I'm glad that it's done. I'm happy that we can move on and move forward. But what are your thoughts on Joe Ingles and him deciding to leave the Orlando Magic?
So besides the JI, you know, extension, this was probably the second biggest shock to me in the free agency period, just because in my eyes, he was coming back. Like, there was no doubt about it. Just like Mo Wagner, he was coming back. And man, he spoke so highly of the city, the fact that he moved his family here, the family loves it here. So it felt like, hey, we're only doing this for math purposes. We're going to bring you back. And guess what? Minnesota gave him the minimum. It's not like they gave him, you know, $10 million to go there. So I'm like, Orlando can get him back easily. So surprising to see him leave. Now we know that apparently last year, he also considered going there, ultimately chose us because we paid him more. So kind of surprising all around. To your point, I do think we'll miss him, not on the court, however, as a leader on the locker room. He was a great guy that you could see, you know, during timeouts, he'll be the first one to step up and pull, you know, Jalen Suggs aside and calm him down. He'll pull France aside and help him out with certain things on the court. We'll miss that leadership. So hopefully, you know, Gary Harris, in my opinion, this is my conspiracy theory here, they knew Joe Ingles was leaving. They brought back Gary Harris as that leader in the locker room, because he's been known for that leadership role for a few years now. So once they figured out, hey, Joe may not be coming back, let's bring back Joe, Gary Harris. That's the role he'll play this year. So I don't anticipate Gary will be in the rotation necessarily, again, unless AB and Jet are just not getting it done. But it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt in the locker room. Let's see what we do with the 15th roster spot. I wouldn't mind us bringing in a vet that can kind of replace that influence that Joe Ingles had. But on the court, you're right. I'm not going to miss him. You know, just guys walking right by him on defense. The three-point shooting, he shot it well, but not enough to make a difference, in my opinion. He would hit, what, one three-pointer a game, if that? Like, it wasn't what we expected. But again, in the locker room, I do think we'll miss him.
Yeah, and I think that this gives an opportunity also for some of our guys to step up vocally on the leadership side. Paolo Banchero, you're mm-hmm. the face of the franchise. His leadership has to be on point and has to step up now. And I will say, some of the things I loved about Joe Ingles is his smack talking. So that's definitely something that I am going to miss. But, you know, I think that everyone's going to have to, you know, tap into their inner dog, and that's just going to have to come out. Like, this is a different time. This is a different feel for this team. Now there's expectations. Last year we were talking about, you know, fingers crossed, let's try to get into the play-in. Now it's, man, let's get home court advantage for the first round. Let's get into the second round. Like, those are the expectations. And if we don't get that, it's going to feel as if we failed. So it's exciting. Just to kind of put a bow on free agency, it may or may not have been what people have wanted, but at the very least, we can hang our hat on the fact that the Magic did get better. We didn't sign any bad contracts. KCP will be an upgrade at the starting two position. And the Magic can still, if there's an opportunity to improve this roster, we haven't even dabbled into the trade market yet. And we have everything at our disposal. We have now some real money that we can move around. We have still every single draft pick that's you know, in our hands that we can utilize. And if the Magic see something, you know, later on, if there's any frustrated or disgruntled stars out there, the Magic are in super good position to be able to be a player in the trade market. That's if they decide that they want to. So as of right now, I don't expect it. I don't have that sense. There hasn't been any rumors or anything that would indicate that we would be. You know, you mentioned earlier that you hope for the last spot that we don't bring in Markel, that we bring in like a need for like a big man to be able to fit that power forward position, especially if Jonathan Isaac isn't going to be, or you don't have 100% confidence that, you know, Jonathan Isaac is going to be able to play full minutes for the full year. We don't know what that's going to look like. Me personally, I think, hey, why not bring Markel Fultz? Paolo Banchero said that he wanted a table setter. Markel Fultz, healthy Markel Fultz, not dealing with injuries, is exactly that. Markel Fultz is easily our best point guard when he's him. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see that last year from him. So who knows, maybe with this offseason, we get an opportunity to see him if we do bring him back. But this is somebody that, you know, is loved by the front office, loved by the teammates. If it's your last roster spot, it doesn't matter who you bring in with that last roster spot. I don't know. I can't see anyone having more upside than a healthy Markel Fultz. What does that contract look like? Don't know. What are the expectations? Have no idea. But as of right now, I'm rooting for, I went from, you know, it's time to move on from Markel Fultz to, and we only have one roster spot left. Let's bring him back.
I mean, to be honest with you, man, we talked about it again via text today. I just think that you got to cut the ties, man. Like, again, even if he comes back, I doubt that if Markel Fultz is trying to stay alive, keep his career going in the NBA, he's going to come in to be a third string point guard at this point. Because, again, you got Cole Anthony, you got Jalen Suggs, you got Anthony Black. He would have to be okay with that role of being a you know, third stringer at this point. Is he going to be okay with that? We don't know. If he is, give it a chance. However, what we saw last year from him, you know, the shooting struggles were still there, the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. This is what I would say, though. Would he be okay? So, ultimately, I don't see a world where Coach Most doesn't play him, right? Coach Most will still find a way to play him in front of Anthony Black, maybe in front of Cole Anthony. Like, we, and this is who knows? Again, if Markel Fultz comes back healthy, I can see a world where if we get what we expect Markel, like if everyone's expectation of Markel Fultz come to fruition, this is somebody that could earn a starting point guard position back at some point. If it's a Markel Fultz that we know he can be. Now, and I'm not talking about something that we haven't seen before. Like, we've seen the level of Markel mm-hmm. Fultz where you know, he's 12, scoring 12, 13, maybe 14 points a game, but he's getting people in position. He's playmaking. He's being savvy with how he's penetrating to the basket. We didn't get a chance to really see that last year. And if there's a little bit of that back, I don't know. Again, I think it's a good risk.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if we saw the announcement that he resigned, I think I'll be happy with it. Just not in a way that he's going to like starting the season getting minutes. Right. I think that we need shooting. We need Paolo and Franz to get the floor spread as much as possible. And based on what we saw last year, that shoulder is still an issue for him. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but he had a setback, unfortunately. So that's my concern, that we'll be playing this game of like hoping that Markel gets healthy and putting him in front of AB. At this point, you drafted AB number 6. Let him lose. I mean, AB made no mistakes last year. Like, this kid played excellent basketball, adapted to the role that he was given, hit 3-pointers, played solid defense. I think he earned the role this year to be either a backup point guard, backup shooting guard, whatever it's going to be. That's another thing to keep an eye on, because AB did say, I want the ball in my hands more. I'm a playmaker. And again, you have Cole Anthony as a backup point guard right now. How do you make that work? Is Cole Anthony now the backup shooting guard in this scenario? We don't know. We're going to find all this out, training camp, summer, preseason. Too early to think about that. But just keep that in mind, that AB did say, I'm a playmaker. That's my strength. That's what I do. So we'll see how the whole thing plays out.
Yeah, imagine move on from Kevon Harris and Amaral Schofield. We extend a qualifying offer to Trevlin Queen. And we'll see if the Magic even decide to bring that extra person back. And then let's find out and see what we end up doing with the two-way. So key dates for what's next for the Orlando Magic. We have the NBA Vegas Summer League between July 12th and the 22nd. First game in probably the best way possible. We go against the Cleveland Cavaliers July 12th on NBA TV. Go figure. July 14th against the Pelicans, 7:30 on NBA TV. July 17th against the Grizzlies, 7 p.m. on ESPN+. And then July 18th versus the Nets, 8 p.m. NBA TV. This is where we're going to get our first look at Tristan Da Silva in Orlando Magic uniform. And, you know, hopefully, obviously, by then we'll figure out if we see Jet Howard and Anthony Black. October 7th, NBA, first preseason game of the Magic for this upcoming season. And then October 21st is an important day for you to circle on your calendar. This will be the last day for the Magic to agree to a contract extension with Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs. There's been a lot of crazy contracts going on for extensions across the league. So this is definitely something that you want to keep your eye on. Free agency is done. Would the Magic end up dabbling into the trade market, or is this a team that we're fully going to go with heading into the season? A lot of questions still need to be answered, but as of right now, super looking forward to the Summer League. Are you heading to Vegas for the Summer League?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, you already flew out to Cleveland for a playoff game. Let's go to Vegas for a Summer League.
We still got to do a HQ Summer League trip. We've been talking about this for years with the ladies and make it like a thing. We're going to make that happen at some point.
Yeah, find me a babysitter. And I'm there. Make it happen.
Just bring them. They can watch the games.
Yeah.
Go to the game for sure.
Yeah, there you go. All right, man. Everyone enjoy their 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Show is presented by Bet Online. Catch you guys soon.
For all the latest Magic news and updates, visit OrlandoMagicHQ.com and follow us on Instagram at OrlandoMagicHQ and on Twitter at OMagicHQ. Also, remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite listening platform.